You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
The passage is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to look at verses 1 to 6. Okay, that's where we're going this morning. I'm going to read the word of God, and I'm going to pray, and we'll get straight to work. Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husband, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Do not adorn yourselves outwardly with braiding your hair or by wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by accepting the authority of their husband. Like Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, you have become her daughters as long as you do what is good and never let fear alarm you. That's the word of God. Let me pray and we'll start. Father God, I do pray now that you would help me to unpack your word. I do pray, Lord, that your people will hear you and not me. I pray, Lord, that they'll walk away encouraged, Lord, loving you more. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. See, I titled this sermon, Precious. Someone precious in God's sight. A precious woman in God's sight. Not in the sight of your husband, not in the sight of society, but in the eyes of God. All right? And there are two things that I want to point. She submits to her husband. She seeks to please her Lord. They're the two things I want to talk about this morning based on the text. She submits to her husband. She seeks to please the Lord. Now, I could see some of the blokes right now already, like nudging their spouse and saying, come on, submit to the husband. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to pay attention here, right? I don't think that's the case, but I'll talk a bit about that. Okay, so that's where we're going. Submit to her husband. You would notice how Peter would say this, in the same way, accept the authority of your husband. In what same way? We have to go back to chapter 2 and we understand the context here. So in 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to do good and gentle, but also to the unjust. You see, what Peter is doing here is he's saying that Christians, we are still under authority. We still have to respect authority. Okay? As a believer, we are not above authority. We can't say that, well, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my authority. Jesus is my master. Jesus is my Lord. Therefore, I will do whatever I want to do. Forget about the government. Forget about the rules and regulation of WA. I will do whatever I want to do because he is my Lord. In other words, if I hear something from God that's contrary to the laws of WA, I will go with him and not the laws of WA. See, that is wrong. I have heard many Christians who would do things that are so wrong, but they claim it's from God. We can't do that. All right? Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. You see what Paul is saying? If we are living in this country under these rules and regulations, we have to submit to authority. Okay? It's important for us to understand that because it honors God. It's for the sake of the Lord. And then he starts talking about master and slave. Right? So if you're a master and you have slaves, the slaves, you've got to respect, you've got to follow the lead of your master. And then here in chapter 3, this morning's passage, he brings husbands and wives together. He says that wives, you must submit to your husband. Look again in verses 1 and 2. Wives, in the same way, that's in the same way as us with society, slave with master, accept the authority of your husband, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. You see, the context is this. Back in those days, there were some ladies who came to know Jesus. They received Jesus into their hearts. They loved him. They are Christians, but their spouses, the husband, still not a believer yet. And what Peter is saying is that you still got to love him. You've got to respect him. You've got to submit to him so that your action will win him over to the Lord. You see, Christian submission, listen carefully, is giving up your rights, giving up your will for someone else because of love. Because of love. You know, I have the rights to do this. It is my will to do that, but I'm not going to follow through because I love you. That is submission right here. And if you look carefully at the end of verse 2, what does Peter say? When they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Can you see that? Submission, listen carefully, must be motivated by purity and reverence for the other person. In other words, wives, girlfriends, all right? You've got to have a pure heart. Your heart must be genuine. Your heart must be one of respect, one that honors your husband. You are not to be cunning, deceitful, manipulative. Your submission is because your heart is pure, because your heart is love, and all you want is you want the best for your husband. And that is so important for us to understand. Because if we're not careful, in marriage, in relationship, it's all about what I get out of it. Yeah? I hope that she gives me this or he gives me that. And it's all about us. But as we study the scripture, it's about laying down our rights, laying down our will for the sake of the other individual because your heart is pure, because you love them. So let's say right now you're in that situation where you love Jesus. He is your Lord, but your spouse may not know him. Yeah? I don't know. Maybe some of you are like that. Or maybe it's the other way around. You, as a husband, you love Jesus. He is your Lord and Savior, but your spouse, she doesn't know him yet. But don't nag him. Don't Bible bash him. Don't, you know, rule over him. But love him. Respect him. Care for him. Honor him. Pray for him. Submit to him. That pleases the Lord. But let me say this. Submission must never lead to sin. Are you with me? Because if you're submitting to someone and that leads to sin, then that is wrong. God has a standard. And as soon as you pass that, you're in trouble. So let's say you're submitting to your husband and your husband says things like, well, let's go and rob a bank or whatever. The last time I checked the Bible, I don't think we can rob banks. Are you with me? It cannot be a sin. Now the blog's here, you're listening, you're going, well, I like this sermon because it's about submission. So when I go home, I'm going to get her to cook me a meal. I'm going to get her to bring me a beer, the remote control, turn on to 7 Mate and watch the footy. I get to boss her around. It's not like that. Because that's slavery. That's bullying. That's a sin. We don't do that. All right, fellas, we don't do that. Because you know in the Bible, I don't want to take you there, but in Ephesians 5, it talks about how she submits to you, but what must you do? You have to love her. And you have to be willing to die for her, like Christ died for the church. So this wonderful mutual relationship where as she submits to you because she cares for you and she honors you, you have to love her. Therefore, you cannot, in that relationship, cause her to sin. Because submission is not sin. And that is very, very important. Now, I tell you that is because when you submit to your husband, ladies, it's pleasing to God. That's what the Bible is saying. You're precious in the eyes of God. He wants you, ladies, to have a pure heart towards your spouse. He wants you to pray for him. He wants you to care for him. He wants you to honor him. He wants you to love him. Submit to him. have more patient towards him. And it's so important that we do that. You mean, I've heard a conversation, not in this church, in other churches, where the relationship between husband and wife gets to a stage where it's like joking all the time. And how she addresses him in public, like, I heard one conversation where someone said, you know, to her husband, not this church, another church, oh, my husband's like El Bundy. You know El Bundy from the TV show? You know, he's fat, he's going a bit of bald, he loves his beer, he's quite lazy. And the husband is laughing as well. But deep down inside, he's dying. He doesn't want to be called El Bundy. He wants to be called like maybe El Pacino, the Italian stallion or something. You with me? But see, we don't, if we're not careful, that's what happens. And that's not respect. And that's not honoring him. Or we might say things like, well, you know, we compare husbands with husband. Or, you know, my husband is not that handy. He can't tell the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. He can't do anything. Ha, 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 ha. We laugh about it. And he might laugh about it, but deep down inside, it's killing him. And that's not respect. That's not honoring him. Are you with me? We are to care for him. We are to pray for him. We are to love him. And that's what's happening right here in Scripture. You want to live a life that is pleasing to God? You submit to your husband with a pure heart, with reverence. In other words, you honor him. You honor him in private. You honor him in public. Those things bring a smile to God. Especially if he doesn't know Jesus yet. Especially when he's still trying to figure out the gospel. And you have come to know the Lord and you know that it's God's grace in saving you. You don't want to be Bible bashing him. You don't want to be, you know, telling him he's got to believe otherwise he's going to hell. You don't want to be doing those things. You still got to be loving him, honoring him, praying for him so that one day he will come to meet Jesus. That you will win him over. You look carefully there. It says that you would win him over to the Lord. That is so important. Augustine, one of the great Christian forefathers, some 300 years after Jesus, I quote him concerning his mum. He says this, "She served her husband as her master, and she did all she could to win him for you, and that you is God, by her conduct, by which you made her beautiful. Finally, her husband at the end she gained for you." You see that? So ladies, I say this to you. If you love Jesus and your husband may not know him yet, love him, honor him, respect him, submit to him so that your action will win him over to the Lord. That's what you're called to do. And if you are like that in your submission to him, wow, that is pleasing to God. That is precious in the sight of God. Now, husband, you don't take this as being, well, great, I've got a slave, I've got a servant. You know, she's going to submit to me. No. You are to love her. You are to care for her. The Bible says you are to pray over her. You are to cleanse her. You are to die for her like Christ died for the church. So that's the very first thing. Ladies, whether you're a mother, a girlfriend, wife, sister, daughter, what pleases the Lord is one with a submissive heart. Second thing, she seeks to please the Lord. She's not here to please people. She's not here to please society, but she wants to please her Creator. Look in verses 3 to 5. "Do not adorn yourselves outwardly by braiding your hair and by wearing gold ornaments or fine clothing. Rather, let your adornment be of the inner self with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by accepting the authority of their husband." You see what Peter's doing here? The ordinary woman, she's focusing on the outside. She's doing her hair, adorning herself with the braided hair, jewelry. She's wearing the Versace and the Gucci, the Dolce & Gabbana, right? She seeks for the acceptance of others, all right? She seeks to please others. And he would say here, the woman who's precious in God's sight. She adorns herself with a quiet and gentle spirit. She adorns herself with hope. In other words, she seeks to please God. Now, let me make this clear. Because I know that some of the ladies here, you might use this sermon Or you might even save this podcast as one of your favorites to play this to your husband. See what Pastor said? I don't have to worry about doing my hair. I don't worry about having to do makeup. I could walk around all day in PJs. Yeah? Yeah, when we were dating, that's another story. But now we're married, we've got kids. Well, this is how I'm going to live my life because the Bible clearly says I don't have to worry about this. That's not the point. Don't take it out of context, all right? Okay? What Peter's saying is here is that he's not banning the ladies from doing their hair or makeup or wearing nice jewelry and clothes. He's not stopping them. He's saying, don't get carried away. Don't get carried. Don't make that the thing that you're thinking of every day. Like when you're daydreaming into cosmetics. You know, you're thinking about what's on eBay that you can buy at a good price and save some money so that you look good. Don't live like that. Don't get carried away like that. Let me ask you this question. Go to David Jones. Go to Meijer. What's the very first department that you walk through? It's not the kitchenware. It's not the kids' clothing. It's the cosmetics department. Is that right? That's the very first department that you walk through, and they're throwing things at you. Oh, try this sample here. Or you want to sit down, and I'll give you a free makeup session. What's the world trying to say to us? No, look like this. Wear this. Go here to eat. Have these food. Do all these things, and you'll be accepted by society. You'll be loved by society because you are all about seeking approval from society. What is the Bible teaching us? Don't get carried away. Seek to please the Lord. Don't worry about the outside. Don't worry about the outside. Focus on the inside. I'm not saying to the ladies here, don't have a haircut. Don't put on the foundation. I'm not saying that because don't take it out of context. If you want to tint your hair, go for it. If that's the in thing, go for it. You want to put foundation and makeup, go for it. You want to buy a necklace, earrings, go for it. You want to wear Versace stuff, go for it. If you can afford it, go for it. But don't get carried away. Don't get carried away because beauty on the outside will not last. You know what Peter's saying here is focus on the inside. The inside is so important. And you notice how he says this. Work on the gentle and quiet spirit. We see that in verse 4. Rather, let your adornment be the inner self with the lasting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. You see that? And then the second thing is work on the hope in God. The hope in God. It was in this way long ago that the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, see, by accepting the authority of their husband. Those things are very precious in God's sight. Those things are very beautiful in God's sight. I don't know about you, but I could say right now, the fellas here, gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but don't you find a gentle, respectful, quiet wife attractive? And when we think of being a gentle and quiet, we think of self-control. That's what is happening right here. She's not a weak woman. She's not a doormat that you run over. No. She's courageous, she's strong when she needs to be strong. But she's gentle and quiet in the way she raises her children. There's self-control. That's beautiful. She's not screaming and shouting like that. There's self-control. She doesn't panic when things are not going well. She knows how to look after her family. That's self-control. She brings out the best in the husband. She brings out the best in her children, not through force, not through aggression, but rather with a gentle and quiet spirit. Oh, that's beautiful. That's attractive. Fellas, maybe some of you're not in a marriage relationship. You're praying for a future wife or a girlfriend. And that's your prayer right now. I know that some of you guys here are single and you're praying. I hope you're praying right now. Start praying. Look around the church. There's a lot of gentle and quiet, beautiful people here. Hashtag open your eyes. Hashtag come and speak to me. Right? A gentle and quiet spirit. That's so important. So important. Secondly, Peter would say, she puts her hope in the Lord. You work on that, ladies. Yes, you've worked on the gentle and quiet spirit, that there's self-control. But now you work on the hope in the Lord. You know, my lovely wife here, I don't want to embarrass her, but I know the trend that when she's looking after the kids, and there are moments where one of the children, they're sick. You know, whether it's Tilly or Ollie, they're sick. And I walk past their room, and I hear her praying. She's praying. She's praying that God would bring healing to her children. She's praying because she puts her hope in the Lord. And that's so beautiful. That is so beautiful that you know, you would have a wife or a mother or a girlfriend like that who would always put her hope in the Lord. She's not putting her hope in herself or the people around her. She's not going to Google to find out the answer to this, but she's praying straight to God. And that's the reason why in verse 6 there's a reference to Sarah. And I love it how Chippor mentioned this in his prayer time. But let's go to verse 6. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You have become her daughters as long as you do what is good and never let fear alarm you. Here's the reason why Peter would bring Sarah into the situation. If you remember in Genesis 18, Sarah is very old now, right? And the Lord will say, you will fall pregnant. You will have a child. You will have a baby. And she's like, you're kidding me. I'm old. My husband is old. And she would literally laugh at God. She would laugh at God's revelation in chapter 18. And then as you read chapter 18, halfway through, God says this, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And at that point in time, Sarah is now quiet. And from that point onwards, she begins to trust in the Lord. She begins to put her hope in the Lord. Despite she thinks it's impossible to fall pregnant, she would say, now I hope and I trust in the Lord. Listen, ladies, when you trust God, when you put hope in the Lord, that is so beautiful. That is so attractive. That is so precious in the sight of God. When your child is sick, put your hope in the Lord. When things are not going right at home, put your hope in the Lord. When your career looks unstable, put your hope in the Lord. When your husband failed you, and he will, put your hope in the Lord. Those things, they're precious in the sight of God. So to all the mothers out there, or the wives out there, the girlfriends or the ladies out there, those two things are so precious to God. A submissive attitude towards her husband, seeking to please the Lord and not anyone else. If you're in a marriage relationship, mothers, wives, I encourage you, I challenge you to take this on board, to love your husband, to care for your husband, to submit to your husband, to always do everything with a pure heart. And for all the ladies here, don't focus on the outside. Those things won't last. Work on the inside. Work on this gentle and quiet spirit. Work on this heart that you're constantly hoping in God. Those things, I believe with all my heart, will bring honor to God, pleases the Lord, is beautiful, precious in His sight. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you're so good to us. And it's important that we continue to please you and honor you with all that we do. I pray for all the ladies here. Lord, I pray that they'll take on your word, that they'll hear from you and be in obedience to your word. I don't know whether some of you this morning here, you're finding this difficult because you're in a relationship where it's very hard to submit to your husband. He's been abusive or aggressive. But I want you to know that the Lord understands what you're going through. I don't know whether some of you right now, you're in a relationship where you love Jesus, but your spouse, they don't know Jesus yet. Keep honoring Him. Keep loving Him. Let your action, let your conduct win Him over to the Lord. I don't know whether some of you this morning, you're finding it struggle to even hear the word submission. You know, why would I have to submit to my husband? Why would I have to do this? I'm praying right now that God would just release that tension from your heart so that you would continue to love your husband, to care for him, honor him, do all things with a pure heart. I don't know whether some of you this morning, your idol is, you know, things of the world, materialistic things, you're focusing and you're always thinking about clothing, fashion, hair, makeup, nails, whatever. And God has spoken to you and said, look, those things don't last. Focus on the inner being, the thing that will last. Focus on a gentle, a quiet spirit. Focus on that. Focus on a heart that puts hope in God. So I want to pray for you all.